Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 36, Waiting in Line and How to Do It Right. I am joined by my co-host,
Johnny,
who is serenading me with New Kids on the Block songs.
Then I literally sang the four songs I know, because the rest of the songs I'm looking at on this list, I don't know.
Great. I knew one of them.
Yeah.
Step by Step.
You should have just left that on there.
I should have.
That would have been class. You
know, we were laughing.
People would have been like, what is this?
We were laughing too hard, and it wouldn't. We just weren't.
This isn't the Infamous Podcast.
I needed to stop and recover. But anyway. All right. So welcome back to this week's show. We've got an interesting one for you. We're going to talk about The Walking Dead because we're fast approaching. There's only two more episodes left this season. We're going to get ready for the next big thing we're going to talk about for the next 3 or 4 months is Game of Thrones.
I'm not watching it.
You're not watching Game of Thrones this season?
It's got to be a binge watch.
Okay. And then we are going to, because summer and spring are getting here, and Comic-Cons and Expos and Wizard Worlds and
things like that. You don't say summer and spring. You just say con season. Yeah, that meme.
Is there a meme about that?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I'm sure you'll make one when you get home using GIMP.
No, I don't want to. That's too easy of a meme. So,
but we are we're gonna share some con etiquette, kind of things that you can do to help make your con more enjoyable. And then we have some kind of con survival essentials, things that you need to bring with you. And then real quick, we went and saw Man of Steel, or I keep calling it Man of Steel. Why do I keep calling it Man of Steel?
But we're not going to talk about that.
No, we're going to talk about on Saturday. We're gonna have our buddy David back on, and we're actually going to review Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
and we will post that on Saturday.
Yeah,
It will be spoiler heavy. It will be a fair review.
Yeah,
I think. Anyway. I'm not,
I was trying to think how I can be fair.
Well, you know, I mean, we're not getting into any more than we saw it on Tuesday
on a podcast. You can't see my thumb go down or up.
No, but, so we will definitely get more into that. And
then on Tuesday, you're going to post the review of Star Trek Nemesis.
And then, we're going to do our, March Star Trek review of Nemesis featuring Tom Hardy,
who also ties to Batman.
Tell me, did you enjoy the Batman versus Superman movie?
You so beat me to it. Because you saw my hands go up.
And I just have to put one hand and do it. Because all you have to do is talk like this. Just grab your jaw, and the rest of the podcast will be like this.
So here's a little Johnny and Brian history. Ever since The Dark Knight Rises has come out, we'll just randomly bust into Bane speak for no apparent reason, and just have full
conversations. I don't remember any lines that he
just
said.
Just to annoy my wife.
And your kid, too, really.
Well, no, because she does it. She'll try and
do it,
which is pretty funny. But it's the Gotham's Reckoning is really how it gets started. Like, or something will happen, it'll be like, that soda is your reckoning. We'll go from there. Anyway, all right. Getting to the show. That's enough hijinks. This is a serious podcast.
I do not wish for it to be a serious podcast. If I was wanting a serious podcast, I would have grown up in a hole for 20 years and then come on to a serious podcast.
You adopted the serious
How
podcast.
How many people
I was born to the serious podcast?
Oh, you want that one?
You adopted a serious podcast. I was born into a serious podcast.
Okay, so everybody's just deleted this episode, so we can say whatever we want for the rest of the show. Anyway, all right, so Walking Dead. First, we're going to recap the episode, and then we're going to talk about some
things.
What
was this week's episode?
Twice as far. Episode 14, so there's only
two.
No,
what happened in this week's episode? I don't remember.
You don't remember? It was the Daryl and Denise and
Rosita. Oh, yeah, okay.
Went to town.
Me angry when I watched it, but I'm okay now.
Yeah, and then we had a great Abraham Eugene bro down scene.
Yeah.
which featured one of the coolest walkers they've had yet on the show.
Oh, Chromehead?
Yeah.
Chromehead. Chromedome is what I was thinking. Whatever you
want to call him. So, Leadhead.
Cobra Commander.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, and out of this discussion about the episode, we're going to go into another thing that I've wanted to talk about for a while on The Walking Dead. And I think as the season's wrapping up and with, I think, what comic fans are expecting to see from the introduction of Negan.
Right.
To what TV fans have heard comic book fans talk about.
Or, you know, Wikipedia and all that
right.
stuff. Yeah.
I want to make a prediction about it.
And yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts as well. But this episode, and I'll say it again, since it's come back from break, I have enjoyed every single yeah. episode. Scott Gimple, showrunner for Walking Dead, keep this level up.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be lulls anymore at this point in the storytelling. You know, and you know, it's okay to go a few episodes without showing any zombies. It really is at this point in the
yeah,
story.
Yeah. Did we only have... Well, no, we had a bunch of
kills. There were a bunch of kills,
end, but... like, throughout the episode, there was only two.
Yeah.
The chrome head and the emaciated car. One in the back room.
Oh, then the one in the car with the cooler.
Oh, well, that's toward the end. But, okay. I count that one with the group. That...
Got it. So, I do have to say...
we always got a baby zombie, I think. I think they just didn't want to... creep people out
because you saw the shoe. Like, I was under the impression that it had drowned
the broken leg person had probably ate the
maybe
yeah
so whatever it was gross
yeah
so
yeah
but and so in typical fashion of a Walking Dead show, we have a character who's relatively minor in Denise,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden she's the spotlight,
right?
And it's like, okay, so Denise is gonna die this episode. How's it gonna happen?
Right.
Because this is just the formula they've adopted as a send-off to their actors.
To the guest stars.
Yeah, well, yeah. to the non-regulars,
right?
If you will. So in you know, they head into town, into this town, because she found an apothecary.
Well, she had driven past it on the way down when all right. hell was breaking loose. Don't know what that was about, because they didn't really explain why she was driving and where she was going.
Well, she was coming into Alexandria when things were happening. She's going into Alexandria when the thing is happening, like the
right.
initial breakdown. But then she has the Yellow Pages ad for the apothecary.
Right, yeah.
And so she's obviously had this with her for a while, because it's crumpled up. It's something she's kept with her.
Yeah, she obviously found a phone book in one of the houses.
And it's been something she wanted to go check out, because, to be honest, I know what an apothecary is, because for a little while in college I studied pharmacy.
Right.
So I know it's a pharmacy.
Right.
Or general store type of a thing.
Well, right.
If you've watched
the apothecaries are more, they have the pharmacy, but they're also more of the crystals and
yep.
all that kind of, you know, self-help right. type stuff.
So,
I guess, you know, self-healing.
Yeah.
More self-healing than self-help.
Right.
More self, yeah.
So, but she was hoping not just to find traditional medicines, but to find
anything and everything.
Anything that can right. help them.
Yeah, it literally is one of those things where at this point in any survival, you want anything and everything that can be used as a, you know, a healthy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, any kind of salves, any kind of, you know,
yeah, anything that you can
anything.
Have to
yeah.
cure disease, keep infection away. Like, infection,
I mean, a lot of it
in
this world would be the infection mm-hmm. idea. You want to keep an infection out as possible.
It had happened with Carl,
right?
You know, they had mentioned we have to beat the infection, and then the other guy who got stabbed or something by one of the wolves.
The one that survived the whole trip back,
yeah. And, yeah. you know, his infection,
right.
they needed to fight that.
Yeah.
She was able to beat it. So Denise musters up the courage to ask Daryl and Rosita if she can go, if they'll come with her.
Right.
Because she knows both of them are quote unquote off.
Yeah, they're not scheduled to be guard duty or anything.
Yeah. And
well, and her and Daryl kind of have built a relationship.
Yeah.
Like a brother-sister thing.
Well, in walking, to and from, you get, you get a lot deeper insight to how close they have become.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was interesting, and it was good storytelling, and it was good character building for all three of those characters.
Right.
You know, Rosita or Rosa, or, you know, she kind of goes back and forth between the two, because in the comic, I think it's just Rosa.
Rosita.
Is it Rosita?
It's Rosita,
okay.
Yeah.
But she's, even at this point, she had way more to do in the comic than she's had on the TV show. So I was excited to see her, and Kristen
Serratos.
Yeah, she is just, wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Even in, you know, zombie apocalypse, you know, she's
actually one of the actresses on that show that you can say has range.
Yeah,
because like I was telling you, she was in the Twilight movies.
Yeah,
you wouldn't recognize her.
Yeah,
in the Twilight movies.
Was she one of the vampires?
No, she was just one of Bella.
Oh no, you told me she
Bella's
was one
friends.
Of that. Yeah, yeah. So, which
one of the people that went, because what is it? Bella moves to town, and it's like, you know.
I'm making the face of, I'm not quite sure what you want me to say.
People might know what I'm talking about, but
I don't know.
The character moves to town, and like any kid in high school, you know, you're like kind of a loner until people start talking to you.
Okay.
And it's just the group of what I would call the loners who came together, start talking to her, and she's one of that group.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. I think it was her and Anna Kendrick and Michael Welch.
Ah. Yeah, I knew Anna Kendrick was in it.
Yeah, one other person might have been.
I don't hold that against her. I still love her.
Hey, you know, it's just a movie.
As I like to say, I love her with all my pants. Anywho. All right, so there are probably one of the funnier Daryl scenes that they've ever had on the show. They're driving this truck out to the town.
Oh, yeah. Can't drive a stick.
He can't drive a stick. And she's telling him, you know, You need to give it some leeway.
She knows how to drive.
She knows
a stick,
how to drive
obviously.
A stick, and she knows how to drive a stick on this particular type of truck because she had it.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of telling them what to do and how to do it. And I think it's because they look at her and they she's weak. I mean, in reality, she's weak.
Well, it's
of
not
their
that she's
world
weak. It's
of
just
how
that
they
she's
look at her.
Not like a fighter.
Right. So
she's never
that's
shown
what
any.
When
any...
I say weak, they view her as, you know, she is she's someone they have to protect.
Right.
Regardless if that's true or not, because she does bring a lot to the table as the town doctor. But driving out like that, it was just really, really funny.
That was just, you know, a little comic relief in the show. And you know, it's one of those things where there's not a lot of comic relief on this show.
Not lately.
So, for that to be, you know, Daryl Dixon, who's good at everything, can't drive a stick.
Right.
Not that I can drive a stick either.
You can't drive
a
stick?
No, I've never driven a stick before.
So, the first, like, stick that I got, I bought it myself. I didn't know how to drive it. And I was told, you have 4 hours. You come back. You know how to drive this car, or it's going back and you're getting something different.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so, I mean, I figured it out, like, you know, but not before, like, I did a burnout in front of a cop and, like, got pulled over and, like, and he's like, didn't I just see you practicing in the high school parking lot? I'm like, yeah, I just got this car and I don't know how to drive it yet.
Yep.
You know, so, like, I feel Daryl's pain because it's not an easy thing
right,
to do.
Yeah.
But never at any point did he ever think, well, let me just pull over and switch spots with you because there's no way he was ever going to sit bitch. I'm Daryl Dixon. But, yeah, so that was really cool. And it led into interesting moments when they got into town.
Right.
And, you know, and Denise exerting herself more and like, stretching her boundaries.
Right.
Like, when she opens the door and she finds the zombie that you already talked about.
Yeah.
Who had the broken legs and was just kind of laying there, you know.
Looked more like emaciated, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it hadn't had anything to eat, so. You know, and her reaction to that
ribs.
Is I want my baby.
It had its baby back ribs.
You keep your wee man. You keep your money. I want the baby. Give me the wee man. Anyway, but she gets sick. She goes outside and, like, you know, like, has to have a moment, which was...
Well, the best part is she throws up, like, twice in the episode. And once when they open the doors and the smell, you can imagine...
I can't.
Like oh, I could.
I would throw up.
I could.
You know how I am with smells.
Well, and the best part is on Talking Dead, they described like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
The floors were wet, so they were soft.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, wet, soft floors don't smell good, because I've been in some old warehouses where it's like, yeah, that's what I imagine it smelled like.
Yeah, I don't think, like, if I were an actor in that scene,
yeah,
I don't think I'd have been able to do it. So yeah, I'd have to have, like, the Vicks vapor rub under my nose. But, yeah, so they get what they need.
She grabs a keychain with the name Dennis on
which we find out is her twin.
Yeah.
Who was brave and who was fearless and who was mean. And, you know, when
Daryl says, sounds like my brother.
When she's talking to Daryl about it, he says, sounds like we had the same brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that moment there where you talked about where you kind of see now, hey, yeah, they
have a connection.
They have a connection. And this is something they've probably talked about at some point.
Right.
So that was really cool. And then Rosita is, you know, trying to help her and help her understand what's happening outside of the, you know, quote unquote four walls.
Yeah. If you think about it, Rosita's had a lot more time.
Maybe
out
even
there.
More than Daryl.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because they've come from Houston.
Daryl and them were in the prison, you know, safe behind walls for a while. And that, not totally safe, but safe enough. And that, but
safer.
You figure Eugene, Abraham, and Rosita came from Houston to Georgia. And it's like, that's not that short of a distance. Yeah. And then, you know, to be with that group and deal with what all they had to deal with, Terminus and everything else.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, she's been through a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Plus, Abraham just broke up with her, so she's kind of like in this space where she's not really...
And she hooked up with the character whose name I cannot remember, the really good-looking guy, who's like the tall guy who always...
Yeah, that's... what's her name? Son.
Yeah, it was Deanna's son.
Deanna's son, yeah.
Who I feel like they gave him a lot of it. Well, I mean... In the comic, you know, it was...
He's there, but he's not.
He's there, and he hit on Maggie a lot in the comic after, you know, the events of the 100th issue.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
But, yeah, but she wakes up with him, and then it's like, oh, I got to get out of here. This is, like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing here. But then he offers to make her jerky stroganoff.
Yeah.
Which sounds horrible. But I think that's from the comic as well.
That might be.
So...
those little details I don't remember.
Yeah. But so then...
I mean, it's just... It's a really bad joke when you talk about jerky stroking off.
I know.
You know?
So... But, so as they were going into town, though, Rosita said, hey, let's take the tracks. It's shorter.
Yeah.
And Daryl said, no, we're taking the road. And then they have this... The three of them have this adventure and these moments. And when they're going back, Daryl says, well, let's take the tracks.
Yeah.
It's shorter. And this was the beginning of the end for this group.
Right.
For this part of the episode.
Stay off the tracks in the Walking Dead world, please.
Exactly. Now, before we get to what happens there, at the same time, Eugene and Abraham are having their bro time.
On the other side of town, obviously.
I don't know if it's even the same town.
Oh, it has to be the same town. It's just one of those small towns. That, you know, they use, obviously, because it's Georgia, they use. But it's supposed to be a town near D.C.
Right.
Like any town, you know, a small community outside of a town. And that, and it pretty much, like, felt like they were on one side of town. And then, you know, Daryl and them were on the other side of town.
Yeah.
And that, so. Not knowing that each other were near each other.
Right. And so Eugene has
Can
this
we coordinate
idea?
This?
Like, where were their walkie-talkies?
Well, that's what I'm like, you know, why haven't, like...
But even in the comic, they never got to that, where they had...
Just in my head, you know, I'm thinking there's got to be an electronic store that didn't get, like, totally destroyed.
Well, the apothecary
you would have found
was,
a couple, yeah. I mean,
there were batteries.
It was locked down
was
really good.
But so, Eugene and Abraham are walking through the town. Eugene has this theory... That he can manufacture bullets using recycling spent casings. This is pulled directly from the comic.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything that happens to them, except for the lead helmeted walker, which Eugene calls dibs on, which I thought was great.
I got dibs.
And he goes to hit it in the head with a piece of rebar. but its head is completely encased in molten.
Yeah, and it just bounced steel. Right off. He like drops it, and then,
he had no idea what to do. He's reaching for something else, and then
he realized it. Like, you know, when he got him pinned up against the wall, and he's trying to reach for another piece of rebar,
because
he was, and he's like realizing that, oh, I can get up under his head. Well, in the meantime, Abraham just pushes him out of the way and stabs him up through the bottom.
Abraham gives him time.
Yeah,
he really does. But like, no, and again, just kind of like in the comic, Abraham understands Eugene's importance, even though he lied about who he was and what he was doing.
This guy's smart.
This guy is smarter than anybody else that is probably alive at this point. With just total holistic knowledge of, you know, manufacturing, engineering,
the world. Well, he's one of those guys that probably sat there and imagined what the end of the world would be like, and this is what I would do at the end of the world.
And he's a bit of a savant, you know what I mean? He's like, it wouldn't surprise me if at some point they make him somewhere on the autism spectrum as a way to, like, you know, like,
yeah,
just well, kind of nod to,
if
like
they wanted to do
people,
that, but I don't,
you know, but I could see them doing that.
It's
the
just
show.
The whole thing where I think he reads a lot.
Yeah.
And just picks up stuff. Because it's like, you don't just know how to manufacture bullets.
No, nobody knows how to do that. So, I mean, I have no idea. Like, I mean, I know a bullet is...
I know how to pack a bullet, but I don't know how to manufacture a bullet.
I know it's a casing with some powder and then, like, the projectile. And then, you know, the hammer hits and it goes. And then physics takes hold. But yeah, so it was really interesting. And then... he keeps talking about leveling up. So he's got the mullet pulled into a ponytail.
Right.
He kind of cut his hair a little bit. He's more clean shaven. And
he looks like a cleaner guy.
He does.
He literally took a couple showers.
Level two. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get a girlfriend up in here somehow.
You know, he's
well, he's been working at the gate, like guarding and that. So he feels a little bit more like he's part of the group.
Yep.
Whereas before he wasn't part of the group.
I mean, before, if you remember, anytime anything happened, he just closed off.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, basically would, if he were a turtle, he'd just duck into his shell. But
and like, literally would, like when Rick, you know, when they came back and Rick was out there fighting and everybody went out and fought and he's like, I'm going too.
Yeah.
And she tried to, Rosita tried to stop him and he's like, no, I'm going.
Yeah.
Because he, at that point, it's one of those things where he realized I got to do this or I'm just going to look like an idiot.
It's, I have to do this, or I'm never going to do this as well. It wasn't just for how he looks. It was kind of in his head as well. And so this is where
the
episode...
deviation.
Well, and again, like we've talked about a few times now. Like, we want to see the show like this, where they definitely draw from the stuff from the comics.
Right.
And they do a twist. Now, you were a little more upset about what happened at first.
Well...
And I got spoiled by it. Thank you, Newsarama.
Yeah, Newsarama put
the
picture.
Who put the picture in the freaking post.
Yeah.
Of Denise. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're spoiling this because it's when you listen to it, it's been more than a week. And if you don't know already, sorry. but
anybody who's a fan of the show has watched the show by now.
So as they're walking back, right, they've figured out, okay, this is where we're going to do this. This is how, you know, bullets are the new currency. This is how we're going to get rich and how we're going to protect ourselves.
Right.
And how we're going to ensure.
And then they get into an argument.
And they do. And Abraham leaves.
Right.
Now, at this point in the comic, the argument didn't happen. And they're walking back. And Abraham takes a bullet through the back of the skull, through the front of the eye.
It was a crossbow. It was the crossbow.
Yeah, it was a bolt. And mid-conversation, kind of finishes it out and then just falls forward.
Right.
And then Eugene is captured.
Right.
So this doesn't happen. So Eugene has to find his way back to Alexandria.
Yeah.
All right. So this is where the other group kind of comes back into play. So they're going down the tracks, which was interesting to watch because Daryl and Rosita were probably a good 10, 15 paces in front of Denise, who is kind of just in her own little world. And they come across this crossing and there are all these cars and she sees a cooler. And she's like, oh, I think we could use this.
Like, there might be something useful in it. She literally yells that out to them.
Right.
First mistake. She's yelling.
Right. And they're like, forget it.
Yeah.
Just ignore it. And she goes and she does probably the dumbest thing she can do. Is she opens the door and then the zombie, like, grabs her.
Yeah.
And she tries to, like, get the cooler still. Whereas it's like, like one of the other more experienced, like as soon as that zombie reached out,
yeah,
in the head, because she had her machete out, she well, was ready.
And the scene, this scene parallels the Eugene scene,
right?
I mean, literally,
but Eugene was ready to take it on,
right?
Just he didn't,
have but he the didn't right know how to take on that, to
take that on,
right?
She didn't, she wasn't prepared to take this on,
right?
She thought, oh, well. I killed,
it's slow and I'll be able the, to grab
she,
cause it.
She killed the other one in right. the apothecary. And so she's
kind no, of, she didn't kill that oh, you're one. Right, she sorry. Left it alone.
Yeah, she left it. But but she saw that other one and she got away from it without
yeah.
incident. So she's thinking, I can do this. I can kill this thing.
Right.
And in reality, no, she it wasn't, gets her, she wasn't yeah. afraid. It gets her, it pins her and you know,
They Daryl I mean, Rosita. Literally, like, they come up and she tells them, no, I'm going to take care of this. Yeah. She calls dibs.
Yeah, she does her dibs,
and, too. I mean, she does it. She does it in, and it's like, you know, well, okay. She's a little stronger than she used to be.
Yeah.
And she opens up the cooler, and, you know, and there's
the orange soda that the she orange, was kind of yeah, desperate crush, for,
I think, so, that she had been looking for. And that, but they're, like, pretty much telling her, you can't take risk like that. You yeah, can't well, do you that. Can't and do she's, that like, telling world. Them what she thinks of them
yeah.
on the train tracks, and then all of a sudden the arrow just goes right through her eye,
right? And she like, finishes her sentence and falls over. So right, it, yeah. like if you go, I want to say it's around issue 102 or 103.
I thought it happened before.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's before me. It's like the 90, like they don't even know. It's so it's probably like 98 actually.
97 98 something like that.
You're yeah. right. So to see kind of the parallel of this but yeah, and then Dwight and the group come out, and Dwight has kind of a scar on his face.
Oh, he's burnt. I mean, he is. Literally, but his ear is not gone, there like, anymore.
I was really disappointed by that makeup.
You like, were hoping because, that it was going to... I wish they would have just had him shave.
Yeah.
So they could have done the makeup more. Because right. I think with him having the facial hair, mm-hmm. it threw off the whole makeup.
Yeah. And just like... It's so off-putting.
Well, the, and in especially the comic the way Charlie book, Adler he's the only it, one who ever it. Used a crossbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this, he pretty much says, I don't know how to use this thing. I was aiming at you and I missed.
Yeah, and he's talking to Daryl.
Yeah.
But they have Eugene with them.
Right.
Which is interesting. And so Eugene is notices Abraham in the background and, you know, is doing his best. And he bites Dwight in a precarious place, I guess, if you
say
will.
His balls. Yeah. He bites his balls.
Well,
which he did comic, in the comic book,
and
too.
He bit it off in the comic.
Yeah.
And so the question is,
did he bite it off? Yeah,
he bit, like, the tip off.
I don't remember that. Yeah. I'd like to know how he got into his pants and bit
I think
his
he
tip
just
off.
Bit so hard through and everything. Yeah. It, like, but anyway, so, yeah, Dwight's a mess in the comic.
That was the best meme that I seen from that show, was my name's D, and then it shows... Eugene's head and these are my nuts or something like that. Like that's these funny. Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. You can call me D. Okay.
Yeah. It's that thing was, yeah.
But so just
call him what his name is.
Yeah. And so dead. They have this standoff and Abraham rescues them. And,
right.
And you know, they all, Eugene gets shot in the arm.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting because to see how he reacts to that moving forward. But, right. You know, I think all in all, it was a good episode. It definitely jumped the story way forward because now.
Well, they had to because, I mean, they're on the eve of Negan. So.
Well, and so now what you have is typically with the saviors, there haven't been survivors.
Right.
The Rick's group has taken care of everyone.
Right.
This is the first time people got away.
And they ran, though. That's the thing.
Well,
they
did run. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to save Negan for the last episode. I think we're going to see Negan next week.
But you won't see him encounter our group until the week after.
I think we will get our introduction to Negan, which I think is kind of a mistake.
Yeah.
But it's TV, so you have to do things differently.
All right.
And I get it. But moving on to the finale, I haven't read anything about it. I haven't read anything about next week's episode either.
Right.
Someone will die. Someone
maybe
will,
more than one. It's
well,
an hour
I think
and a
more
half.
Than one. Yeah.
I mean, they announced it's an hour and a half episode.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, which they made a big deal out of, but I'm like, but don't they always do every that? Year they've announced that it's going to be an hour and a half episode. It's like, it's not that big a deal.
But then we're going to get the person with the baseball bat scene. And just spoilers, just jump ahead 10 seconds. All right. In the comic, it's Glenn. All right. Spoilers over. I do not think it will be the same character as the comic.
Who are you thinking?
I think it will either be Daryl.
Yeah.
Or I think it will be Lauren Cohen. Maggie.
No.
And here's my... Here's
She's
my
pregnant. They're not going to kill a pregnant person.
Well, okay. So here's my thought process on this, right? They didn't kill Judith with Lori at the prison.
Right.
Right? I think they missed that shock value that would come along with that. And I think ending the season with a pregnant lady getting her head bashed in with a baseball bat covered in barbed wire, people will talk about that all the way until next October every week.
They're not going to do that.
Okay. I personally...
I don't think they're going to show who they kill.
No.
I think it's going to be a who shot JR and...
God, I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, they're going to do that.
Because here's the thing. I really want them to make a decision and stick with it. And if they do that, we're going to get all those stupid Daryl fanboy girls with the Daryl Dies We Riot. No, Daryl needs to go.
It's not even Daryl anymore. It's Daryl, Carol, whoever, you know. I see Carol being a potential victim of Lucille.
Maybe. Ideally, I think we don't see Carol again until next season.
But this whole episode is coming up as the hunt for Daryl, or hunt for Carol.
Which is fine.
Carol Daryl.
they can hunt for DeCarol, but no, they can go hunting for Carol. But I think them not finding her and them running into Negan is a great
well, that's going to be where it's going to.
And then if we don't, and then we don't see Carol until next season, and then Carol comes back and finds out they were looking for her, and then this main cast member who, you know, she'd been through so much with. I think it'd be cooler if
Carol, like, meets the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh.
Like, that would be the way to introduce them into the whole thing. As she left and runs into Ezekiel and...
It would be pretty great if she showed up with a tiger. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. So.
Or riding a unicorn.
All right. So, just, that was the episode. You liked it.
I liked it. My gripe was, that I wish they would have killed Abraham.
Right.
Because I feel like they haven't taken a lot of risk with killing main characters
lately
since Herschel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Beth and Tyrese were not main cast members.
No.
They were guest cast members that, because they were going to kill them off, they made them main cast members. Right. With the, you know, the opening cast is the main cast.
Right.
And it's like, you know, Herschel was the last one I can remember.
Yeah.
The governor and Herschel, because they died pretty much in the same episode. So,
yep.
You know, those were probably the last two major cast members that, you know, died. And I don't think they're willing to take the risk anymore because the popularity of these characters.
Yeah. Whereas I think if they did take the risk, like, people would love the show more.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, people would be pissed off enough that they'd want to see why and what happened.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So
we haven't stopped reading that. We haven't stopped reading the comic book, and they kill favorite characters all the time.
Constantly. Like, what happened in this last few, this new arc with the
Alpha,
Whispers.
Yeah,
with,
Alpha with makes a move.
Alpha and kills four main characters?
Two that I can think of, because I don't remember
The two big ones, and then there's the other two who were...
semi-regular characters.
That were definitely a part of the rebuilding.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what that was my major complaint, is they're not willing to take the risks to do that anymore. And it's like, you know, I like these actors and, you know, I like the characters, but have the balls enough to do it once in a while. Even Lost had the balls enough to do it once in a while.
Like, look at The 100. The 100 has zero problems.
Well, you said that. Yeah, you've said that.
Zero. And like, one of the characters that was recently killed off, like, you know, people got upset that they killed her, like, because she was a gay character, and the LGBT were like, well, we're going to boycott this show. But they didn't kill her because
she was gay.
They killed her because she's on Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh,
You know, and you know, she's my least favorite character on Fear of the Walking Dead's premiere episode.
Wow.
She was the whiny daughter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
But on the 100, she's the commander and she's badass. And her death actually was this huge reveal about something that was going on with the story.
But that's the thing is, like you said, they're willing to, you know, do that. Like you've said, they've had guests on where they're one episode, it's a known actor, and they kill him in that episode.
I'm going to spoil it for you. They have Brenda Strong on.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I'm like,
oh, she dies in everything.
No. But like, you see Brenda Strong's name and you think she's there for like 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah. She didn't even make it through the first half.
Well, you know?
And it's just one of those things where.
But what hasn't Brenda Strong died in?
Well, I mean, at this point, but I mean, she's still a name actor coming into a show. She was the queen of their Ice Nation thing.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't like she was just some scrub who showed up.
Right.
She was literally royalty.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead has really gotten away from that. You're right.
Yeah. That was my whole thing is like, and, you know, I sat there and I'm like, I didn't care that much about Denise. It was just, I was kind of ticked that they didn't do what they should have done.
Yeah.
You know, just because I think it would have. Because if Eugene is stepping up, that made in the book that made him step up more.
Even more, yeah.
And because Denise him and Abraham are best friends.
Yeah.
In this time, in this period of time in that world,
they've forgiven each other. They are best friends. They're buddies.
And at that point in the book, it was like they were like, you know, it was like a buddy movie type thing. They were out doing their thing and, you know, he got killed right in front of him.
Yeah. And Eugene's game
stepped up after
that. But it affected him a lot in the book too. The other thing is Denise is a character from the comic. She dies in the comic.
Yeah.
She just gets bitten by a zombie. That's the difference.
Right. So
I think she died even a little before.
Yeah. I don't remember secondary characters that much.
Anyway. Okay. So just real quick to close out on Walking Dead, there are a lot of similarities between the comic, but there have been some big differences.
Yeah.
A couple good, couple bad. You know, we're not going to be all inclusive of these. We just have, you know, what, 5-6 highlights here.
Yeah.
So like a big one is it's just kind of how some of the people have died.
Yeah, yeah. So they just
governor, for example, killed Tyrese in the comic by chopping his head off with Michonne's sword.
Right.
Whereas in the TV show, it was Scott Wilson. It was Herschel. You know, Dale lived much, much longer.
Dale literally, Bob took Dale's place.
Yeah, Bob took Dale's place.
Or after Terminus.
With the hunters.
Tainted meat! Tainted meat!
I'm tainted meat! And, you know, and that was great because, like, that was a cool scene for Bob. Like, Bob was an interesting character and, you know, unfortunately they killed him.
Right.
Because so kind of like my disappointment with Fear the Walking Dead, with the addict and killing the drug dealer off so early.
Yeah.
Like, Bob was an alcoholic.
Right.
And the alcoholism affected decisions for a long time with that character. So, you know, I found that interesting. I still kind of am bummed. And, you know, he was the kicker in The Waterboy. So, you know.
Oh, every time about that.
And he was on The Wire. And, you know, I mean, that guy's, he's an awesome actor.
They glean a lot of people from The Wire on their show.
I mean, well, Tyrese was Cody. Yeah. So,
Seth Gilliam was on The Wire.
Well, and he was on Oz as well. Right. So, but you know, there's that kind of stuff. You know, I think like Andrea's death is a big one for me. And Andrea is a whole topic here that we can talk about. In the comics, she and Rick,
she's still alive.
She's alive in the comic, and she and Rick are a thing.
Yeah.
Like they're essentially married.
Right.
They've been in love.
Yeah, Carl calls her mom now.
Yeah, I mean, they've been in love for over 50 issues, you know.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I mean, we're at like 153.
Jeez.
So they've been a thing for a while. They are a team.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, who was the actress that played her?
I don't remember.
Lori something.
Yeah.
Anyway, like she wasn't great on the show because I don't think that actress really wanted to be there.
Well, after Darabont got fired or whatever, because she was one of Darabont's people.
Okay.
She's been in, you know, a couple of Darabont's movies.
Okay.
She was in The Mist and she was in The Majestic.
Okay.
And that, so that it was one of those things where, and that's the same reason why Dale.
Well, and with Dale. Right. So, and I mean, even, you know, John Barenthal was a Darabont guy. You know, because he did the show, the Darabont show on TNT.
After. Well, yeah, afterwards. But I think he had never worked with him before.
No, but I think he was there because of Darabont.
Maybe.
If I remember correctly. But anywho, No, Andrea in the comic is awesome. I mean, yeah, just she is. She's,
well, it's like I told you before we started recording, yeah, is they've split it up between three characters on the show. Hey, at this but point.
You okay? So you had mentioned they've split it up between Carol,
mm-hmm,
Sasha, and yep, Michonne.
Yeah,
and I disagree.
Okay, why?
Sasha hasn't got, like, she's a sharp shooter,
right? Yeah, but she got that part of her,
but she's not like Andrea was. Like, she's another creature who, yes, she can shoot.
Well, right.
But, like, yeah, I don't feel like, I don't see her as a kindred to Andrea.
Well, they didn't. Well, that's the thing where they, not all the characteristics of Andrea are, Andrea from the comic book, right, are given to everybody.
Right.
Sasha got the part that they needed to give her, which, okay, was, we need a sharpshooter.
I got it. Yeah. Okay. I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
I think Carol is definitely the closest.
Well, Carol's become the badass. That Andrea think... was like a weak character, right, in the first,
yeah,
part of that book. And became what she had to become because, like, of the prison. Like, up until
Carl with the little boys, really.
Yeah.
Is where she really
morphed. Well, I mean, but... in the book, she got her face sliced open. Yep.
In the prison.
By, yeah, and it's like, you know, that kind of pushed her to, I got to protect myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you know, her sister was already dead and, mm-hmm, everything had happened with that.
And her sister,
and
it was died just, in the...
Oh, she died in the early first six. On. Yeah. Yeah, so. She's one of the first six victims.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, and then with Michonne, it's a shame that they're giving her some of Andrea's story because she's, they're not the, doing enough of the Michonne story. The part that I say with her story. Is
she's just, well, become the Rick, you know, and girlfriend.
I think that's something people wanted to see in the comics, but in the comic, their relationship is, they're more so, of
a brother and sister.
It's so special what, yeah, they have, and the way she can talk to him like nobody else can, yeah, talk to, and they don't have that. And I think it weakens Rick as a character.
Well, right. And in the show, it's like I said, in the book, it's more of a brother-sister relationship.
Right.
Where, like, you know, I have a sister.
Yeah.
And if we have a conversation, we can shorthand a conversation.
Right.
And, you know what we're going to do. And that's what her and Rick do in the book all the time.
Right. Yeah. And you and your sister have the shorthand. And you, yeah, just do whatever your sister wants to do.
Well, so, you know, that's not true.
I know, but that's not, yeah, true. It's just a joke. Anyway. All right, so then another big one is Rick still has both hands in the TV show.
Which, who cares? It's a budget thing. It really
doesn't matter. I mean, the governor cut his hand off.
Yeah, that all comes down to budget. That's just a qualm. That's a qualm for people who everything has. It's like, you know, it's literally like they want the book as the show, and you can't have the book as the show.
Well, I'll tell you why this is better this way. It's because the governor in the show was not the governor from the book.
Right, yeah, he was.
And Rick was not the first person to meet him.
Right.
Which, you know, was different.
Yeah.
So, like, him cutting Rick's hand off would have been just to appease the fans. So much like Batman versus Superman, there are things that happen that are just to appease fans, right, of the Dark Knight comic. That would have been just to appease the, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Is a lot of the things that people complain about, they just want the book,
right,
to be the show.
Right.
Whereas, like, my complaint, like, with Abraham, like, I would have liked to seen that. Like, him die.
But it was more because
you're not, it's they're not taking any risk.
It's in service to another character, right, yeah, dying and Rick losing his hand. It doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when Negan first meets Rick in the comic and he notices he's missing a hand, like, he understands that this is someone he has to be hard with.
Right.
Like, he can't mess around because Rick is a very dangerous, right, person. I think Andrew Lincoln portrays how Rick is dangerous without having to be maimed.
Well, right, yeah.
Great. So, all right. Shane was a huge difference between book and the show. And I think Kirkman has said he felt like he killed Shane off too early in the,
well,
in the book.
Kirkman said that because Kirkman didn't know that his book was going to go past six issues.
Right. So, but I think but what happened there? I mean, cause there's a point where, you know, Shane shows back up when Rick goes, when he finds out that if you die, you turn.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So I Rick mean, goes back. We talked
about that before.
And he goes back to the grave, and that was a great scene. But I tell you what, the way Shane died
in the show,
I think carried way more weight.
Well, it had to. I mean,
because like John Barenthal was great because you hated Shane. Like, you had to hate that character for Rick to become who he needed to be.
I didn't hate him as much as I was compelled to see where they were going with his character.
But I mean that's part of it as well.
Right.
But yeah, in having Carl, much like in the comic,
yeah,
Carl was the one who put him down finally.
Well, right. I mean, Rick had killed him. He was dead.
Right.
And he got back up. And that's when they realized, like, because the whole thing where they had gone to CDC and the doctor had told Rick, right, like, when he was leaving, that we all have this.
Yeah.
And Rick had not seen it yet. And then when he kills
Shane,
he sees it.
Yep.
For the first time. And, like, his reaction is, oh, my God, this is for real. And Carl shoots him in the head like he does in the book.
Right, right.
But in the book, he was doing it to protect his dad because he was, like, a little kid and didn't know any better. Whereas right. in the show, he was old enough now that he was, like, just protecting.
He was protecting his right. family. And Shane had kind of pushed Carl away.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then Daryl. Daryl wasn't even in the comic. That's really all.
Daryl still has never been in the comic. No,
and I don't think Daryl will ever be in the comic.
No.
So.
No.
You know, Deanna Monroe in the comic was Douglas Monroe.
Right.
And he was a black guy.
No, he was white.
Was he white?
Yeah, he was white and bald. I always thought
he was black. Oh, well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But it's a black and white comic.
So. Yeah.
But I thought Deanna was the better character, to be honest, because Tova... I don't even know how to say it.
Tova Feldish.
Yeah.
Feldish.
She was awesome.
Right. You know, she's been around forever. I mean, she's a Broadway performer and she's done a lot of movies and that. It was just a matter of casting the right person for the role.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably a role when they put the call out for it. They probably were testing men and women.
Yeah.
And just were going to go with whoever was the best actor.
And she was.
Like most of the roles on this show, they don't know they're being tested for The Walking Dead.
Because Alicia Witt talked about that on Talking Dead.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's one of those things where I already knew that from reading, like, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah, you read the Walking Dead magazine, right?
Well, not the magazine, but, like, I picked up a book during, like, the second season. They had published a book that was behind the scenes of the first season.
Okay.
And it talked about how a lot of the main cast didn't know they were being cast for that.
Interesting.
The book was already so popular that
when the show came out, I mean, the book was around like issue 80.
Yeah, something like that.
So
yeah.
All right. So then the last big one is in the book, Sophia is still alive.
And Carol died. Right.
And Sophia is Maggie's adopted daughter.
Yeah.
At this point. And then little Herschel is her and Glenn's son.
Right.
And then in the comic, Carol had an affair. I mean, affair is not a right word, but the relationship.
Well, she was having a relationship with Tyrese.
Tyrese.
And then Tyrese had an affair with Michonne.
Right. And Carol was not as strong. She never was strong in the comic.
No. It seemed like it might have been the same story, but they never delved into her character enough to know that if she was abused or anything.
They had mentioned she was younger. There was time. Yeah, she was much younger.
Yeah.
And she had Sophia, and it was just her and Sophia.
Right.
And then in the prison, they had captured a zombie because they kind of wanted to study it.
Yeah.
If you remember, they had it like staked.
I remember. And I always tell people she died. She did suicide by zombie.
Yeah. She just walks up and lets it bite her neck because she's like, "Are you in there?" Like she wants to know that. You know, kind of like what Herschel, like why he was putting the zombies in there. He believed that they could come back. She wanted to see for herself, and when she sees that there's nothing there, she just lets it bite her.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. There are two entirely different beasts at this point.
Oh, yeah. I always tell people, I said it's just the imagined parallel world thing.
Yeah.
You know, where
it's an Elseworlds.
Well, no, it's just, you know, Earth 1, Earth 2 type deals. Sure. You know.
But
it definitely is like, if you had to describe it, it's a parallel universe altogether. And if one met the other, it would be an interesting idea for a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's enough Walking Dead. Yeah.
You love that show. So you want to talk about it for almost an hour.
I've enjoyed it much more this season than this half the season I've enjoyed as much as
I'm
first
curious
three
to
episodes.
See where they're going to end this with. Cause they only got a couple more seasons in them.
Yeah. I think they end with the war. They do the war, and then it ends with them rebuilding showing society.
Showing a future and then it ends.
So, like, with the time jump that happens, that's just it.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so Game of Thrones comes back April 24th. If you are not caught up, that gives you, what is today? Today is March 24th. You have 1 month from, so we're recording this on Thursday the 24th. So you have 30 days from the time this airs to catch up, which is more than enough time to catch up on 50 episodes.
Oh, geez, you're talking like the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought you were just talking like the last season. Get caught up. Oh no, the last season you can get caught up in what would take you a week,
3 days.
Yeah, so I agree with you. It is a much better show when you binge watch it.
Yeah,
but it's one of these things where, you know, I gotta watch every week.
Well, you can watch every week, but let's not talk about it until it's over.
Man, I don't think I can do that.
Yes, you can.
I've been good about not spoiling you on that stuff. Little things.
The internet spoils enough.
Okay, so
there's enough people out there that don't respect the idea that people don't watch this stuff like on a
normal basis. With something like HBO, you have to give more leeway because it's a paid service that not everybody has.
Yeah, I've never when I tell people to watch Spartacus, I don't tell them the details of Spartacus because it's one of those things where, you know, it was produced for Starz.
And Starz, if you haven't watched Spartacus, there's something wrong with your brain.
Yeah. So, no, I just tell people to be prepared to see Dong because that takes people back.
It does.
So, because it's literally one of those things where can expect female
nudity. Skip the first episode.
Just watch the pilot.
Is so bad.
Just watch it all.
You have to power through because I remember I watched the pilot of that and I turned around. I was like, I'm not watching any more of this crap.
Yeah.
And then I think it got the Netflix when Gods of the Arena came out was doing Gods of the Arena like the very next day.
Right.
And so, yeah. Anyway, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I want to talk about the con stuff. But there's been a ton of differences in Game of Thrones as well.
Well, the whole point of this talking about Walking Dead and that, just to explain to the listeners and that, Brian was telling me the other day about differences between Game of Thrones, the book. I've only read the first one.
Yep.
And the show. And I was like, well, there's a lot of differences on Walking Dead. And the whole thing where Abraham didn't die was one of those things where it was like, it had pissed me off enough where I was like, well, let's just talk about it.
Right.
And that, but the Game of Thrones thing isn't as big of a deal to me because I probably won't read the books because I'm spoiled by the TV series
If you haven't read the books, I suggest track down the audiobooks.
Yeah.
They're great to listen to. You know, you can do like 20, 30 minutes at a time.
Is it a cast or is it one actor?
No, it's just one actor, which is fine. I get like the Dune one is a full cast.
Yeah.
And I kind of get lost in it a little bit.
Okay.
You know, like the Lock and Key is a cast.
Oh, really? And they did audiobooks for that?
It's a radio play.
Wow, okay.
I think I downloaded a copy for you. Huh. Anyway, because they did like a DR.
Yeah, I shouldn't listen to it until I read it.
But no, and it's different. But there's a link in our show notes where you can go and you can find all the differences between the books and the TV series.
Right. Like, but you were telling me like major ones.
So like some major ones. So they've left out this whole secret Targaryen plan.
Okay.
That is not a part of the TV show. So, you know, the Dornish and the guy who first introduced Viserys and Daenerys to Drago.
Yeah.
They are part of this conspiracy, essentially.
Okay.
To put a Targaryen back on the throne.
Okay.
Now, Daenerys is not the only Targaryen left.
Right. So that in the book, there's a...
And when I say that, there's someone who's masquerading around as a Targaryen.
Right.
And we don't know if they are or aren't.
Okay.
And we should find out in Winds of Winter. They've left out all these like just kind of ancillary houses.
Right.
And they focus on the star. They focus on the four main ones.
Right.
Which is fine for TV. And like, I'll be honest, I like the show more than I like the books.
Okay.
And part of that is because why I think George R. R. Martin has crafted a brilliant world and an amazing story.
Yeah.
I think his execution of the story is not as good as it should be.
Right.
Because he's too concerned with too many other things.
Well, it's kind of like Tolkien with Lord of the Rings, Hobbit universe. The Hobbit is one book.
Right.
And they ruined it by making it three movies.
Right.
Whereas it could have been two movies.
And you can see, I mean,
we've talked about
I mean, there's the spot in Smaug where you see where they said, okay, we're going to cut here and we're going to add an hour. And
then
we're going to add an hour to the next film. And then we're going to have this logical progression.
Right. Where that was one of those things where Peter Jackson at that point was just manipulated by the studio into doing it.
Yeah.
They pretty much told him, you got to do it or we're not going to do the movies at all.
Right.
And with Game of Thrones, what is it? Benioff and... I don't remember their names. D&D, pretty much. It's D&D. Weiss and Benioff, I think, is what it is. Those guys, and you know, I've watched them on a few different shows being interviewed about Game of Thrones. The best one's a show called The Writing Room, where it's like a half-hour show and they talk to them about it.
That's the Jim Rash one, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Jim Rash, if you don't remember, was the dean on Community.
And right.
He has this amazing writer's room show.
Yeah, and you could tell that they respect the writing, the books, but they have their own ideas of where to go with it.
So, yeah.
And from what we've talked about, they definitely have gone on their own path.
You know, Bran.
Yeah.
The Bran story. Like, we got to his conclusion faster than we needed to.
Okay.
So, when we come back, like, we don't know. Like, we've had an entire season now without Bran and Hodor. And,
Hodor.
Anyway, so we don't know. This is all new territory. In the books, like, there is mention of the Wights and the Walkers and the things beyond the wall.
Okay.
But I don't remember reading about the... And, you know, maybe in there? I don't know. But, like, I don't necessarily remember reading about all of that.
Well, and, you know, because the show obviously is going to have an ending too, you know, a year or two from now.
Right.
The Wights seem like they might be a group to fight the Walkers.
Right.
White Walkers.
Sorry. Right.
The White
Walkers. Well, so, like, the whole scene where they go to that harbor where all the wildlings are.
Yeah, the wilding city.
Like, that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
Like, and John did not go to that.
Okay.
You know, Sam and, like, Maester Aemon doesn't die at the wall. He dies on the way to the Citadel.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Where Sam is going with him to become a Maester. But he brings Gilly with him, and, you know, he and Gilly, you know, have their thing. But they're going, and they go to Sam's family.
Right.
And they say, oh, this is my baby. And Sam says, this is my baby, you know, so kind of to help that out. So there's that. You know, there's just a lot of, like, little things. Like, Stannis sends Davros.
Yeah.
Davos. Which was the Doctor Who one?
Davros and...
Yeah, Davos. Sorry, the Onion Knight. So he sends the Onion Knight because they hear rumors that Rickon Stark is alive.
Right.
And they send the Onion Knight, and the Onion Knight is, you know, allegedly, you know, air quotes there, killed, and his hand and his skull are mounted. Well, in reality, they just said they killed this, like, family said they killed him because they know where Rickon is.
Right.
And they need a smuggler to go get him.
Right.
You know, so, like, none of that has happened. I don't foresee that happening. I think Rickon Stark's story is over.
Yeah.
In the TV show. But, you know, you have, you know, all this happening with Ramsay Snow now.
Yeah.
Bolton. He married Arya Stark in the book.
Oh,
who was actually Jane Poole, who was Sansa's best friend, who was in the first episode.
Okay.
And she looked enough like Arya that they could pass it off in the
right. North
because she had grown and nobody had seen Arya for so long.
Okay.
You know, it's things like that. You know, the things with the more mystical side of things.
Right.
You know,
yeah, they've Stoneheart not and done a lot of that.
Like, there's a character who helped Bran and the Frog Children. I'm brain farting about everybody's name right now because there's so many characters. A character named Cold Hands, who, you know, may or may not be Benjen Stark. We don't know.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, there's just a lot of things that happened in the books that haven't happened in the show. And leaving it out, it doesn't affect the story.
Right. I was going to say the benefit of reading the books is that you're getting like this ever expanding universe story that, you know, obviously George R. R. Martin is a very good writer, you know. I mean,
but like the Cersei stuff with the shame that happened in an entire book,
right,
versus one episode,
right,
you know. And and you know, it was, it's just one of those things, like Jaime never went to Dorne.
Okay.
You know, he went to meet his uncle Kevin on the battlefield, and he's going across the country, you know, fighting and you know, pillaging. And, you know, Cersei sends him a letter asking her to fight in her stead.
Right.
In a trial by combat, which, you know, it turns out to be the giant white knight who we see at the end.
Yeah.
That Qyburn brings to her, who is the mountain.
The mountain. The mountain stein.
But Jaime gets this letter and he burns it.
Right.
Because he's had enough of Cersei and her manipulation and, you know.
Well, and in the show, it seemed like, you know, this was just this last season. It seemed like he was kind of done with her, too.
Yeah.
He was just going to go get their daughter.
Yeah. But then, like, Cersei takes his loan out of the Iron Bank and builds a fleet of ships, and then just refuses to pay, and then the ships are stolen.
Oh God, okay.
You know, by the person that she had put in charge.
It's more,
so there's more
to it, but it's not like, you know, for a fan of me, like the TV series, I don't have to go read these books.
No, and you know, honestly,
whereas like, with The Walking Dead, if people are a fan of the show, I tell them you should check out the comic book, because you get a lot more.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like I get enough with the show, and part of it is the actors. I mean, the actors on this show are like some of the, like, you know.
Well, they've cast some pretty amazing
people. Oh, yeah. And brought in people that you hadn't seen for years that are like,
right,
you know, some of the best actors in the world. I mean, Diana Rigg is, Marjorie's grandma. Yeah. She's awesome. Yeah.
Like Peter Dinklage, who, you know, he's been in stuff. Normally he's in comedies.
Yeah.
Like that's what I always knew him from, is like hands down the breakout. But then you have like Arya.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Macy.
Yeah. Macy Williams is like, they had no idea they were getting that.
Well, even this year, like this season, Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie Turner, yeah, like, Sansa Stark, you know.
Really, again, like,
they didn't know what they were going to get.
She's grown into the character enough now that it's like, you know what? You actually are mature enough to play this character now.
Well, and in the book, too, you got to remember, she's like 14 years old.
Right.
So, like, yeah. But so, I mean, there's changes. I say, if you really want to read the book, check it out. Check out the audiobooks. They're great.
Yeah.
But this is one where, you know, you don't have to read the books to enjoy it. And I would argue you will enjoy it more with the burden of knowing, not as part of your viewing experience.
Right.
So,
I mean, the first book stuck very close to the first season.
Well, so. And it kind of had to.
Yeah.
But then as it shoots
the deviation,
off,
like, you know, like we've said, the deviation
is probably one of the weaker,
right,
in my opinion. You know, the third book is definitely the strongest book.
Okay.
And that was when the Red Wedding and the Purple Wedding happened.
Oh, okay.
That was all like
one book.
And yeah.
Nice.
So right there. The fourth book is the weakest book.
Okay.
Because it's the one that's all Cersei and Marjorie.
You should put down the rank the books on the website.
More stuff on the website to rank. I haven't even done the Star Trek stuff yet. Anyway. All right. So
no, just put a ranking in the notes, in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I can do that. Yeah. But
that way people can get an idea of what they might want to check out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they
the problem is you can't read the books out of order.
Sure
you have to. No, I mean, really, because.
Well, can you skip the one
I tell
book?
You what, if you really want to know about it, about the book stuff, go to a wiki of Ice and Fire. Like, it's the best resource out there. There's a link in the show notes to the differences between the show and the books. You can find everything you need from there. All right. So comic conventions.
Or just cons in general.
Cons in general. You know, really.
Because I didn't go to
anything.
A comic con this past weekend. I went to a horror con.
That's true. You did. Okay. So we've been friends for a while.
Yeah.
Probably like 10 years at this point.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know, I was actually friends with your sister before I was friends with you. So,
right.
Which is kind of funny now that we're closer than... So I've been collecting comics.
I have a sister.
Shh. She doesn't listen. Hi, Jamie. Anyway, so when we first met, I'd been collecting for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, since I was a little kid, and I was in my early.
So it was like, what, like 2002,
2001, 2002, somewhere around there. But I had never been to a comic book convention.
Right.
And part of that was, it was always like, I always accepted my geekdom and my nerdiness, but that was just a line I never felt comfortable crossing.
Yeah. So you literally were going to be like the one who, like, if you felt like you went to a show, it would be shame. Shame. You
know, it was like,
well, at the point that you're talking about, it isn't like now where it's not. Yeah. It's a cool thing to go to conventions. It's like a sports game right at this point.
And at this point, I've still been to very few
right
in comparison. And part of it is because I don't necessarily like them.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah, I can see that when we've been to a few.
I definitely have agendas of what I'm there to get.
Right.
Now, I don't collect autographs. I collect art.
Right.
That is my main purpose for going.
Which is why you go to comic cons.
Right.
Right.
So, you, though, my friend,
you've
been to Dragon Con. You've been
To Motor City. We'll go from the beginning, my first real con was a comic book convention. It was Mid-Ohio Con, which no longer exists.
Which RIP. I'm actually kind of bummed about because I would have liked that.
What was his name? Roger Price
right
was the guy who ran Mid-Ohio Con. And it was just one of those shows where it was like very family oriented.
Right.
Felt very comfortable. Like, you know, they did the show in Columbus and they would move around to different places in the city at times. But every time you went into a Mid-Ohio Con, you just felt like you were, you know, coming in to hang out with people that you knew.
The people you see. Even people
I
didn't
know. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it was cool because everybody was there just to have a good time.
Right.
There was no hidden agendas by anybody, really.
Yeah.
I met some of the, like, people you would never think that you'd meet at a show now because they don't do shows as much now.
Right.
Brian Michael Bendis really stands out in my head because he had just been on the scene.
Yeah, it was with Ultimate Spider-Man, really, right?
He was doing Ultimate Spider-Man. It was early in the Ultimate Spider-Man run. Powers had been out.
Okay.
Because Michael Oeming was there, too.
Wow.
So...
See, now, those are guys who I would like to meet
and
talk to.
I have the Powers script book signed by both of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
So...
And they were cool. I mean, Bendis did a panel. I can remember he did a panel and he was like real comfortable about just talking about writing in general.
Well, he teaches a college
course. Well, yeah. And he was recommending like things like he was telling people in the audience because there was, you know, this is a show where there was a lot of kids at the show. A lot of, you know, parents brought their kids to the show. So he was telling like these younger kids, if you're interested in writing, check this out. Right, go read this, do this and that. And it was one of those things where, when you have a comic book writer come in like that for them to do stuff and talk to people like that, it's more interesting to me. I mean, I think what I seen Harlan Ellison at one of those shows and, like a lot of the Superman crew showed up like at one of the first ones I went to and it was right after like Return of Superman. So I think I've got the Death of Superman trade signed by at least 7 or 8 of the writers and artists and Mike Carlin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. DC, like for a long time, and this is before I went there, DC had a booth there. Marvel had a booth there. Like it was one of those shows that was well enough known that like, you know, the big companies were sending their people.
That's cool.
Because I remember DC had a booth there for the first couple ones I went to. Because Dennis Cowan from Milestone was there. So I got to meet him, which he was a cool guy. Dwayne McDuffie didn't show up. So that was one that was kind of like, you know, he would have been cool to know, you know, knowing what he was now.
Yeah.
Back then would have been cool. And that's the same with Dennis Cowan. It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, this guy was, I mean, Milestone for me was one of those books where I was like, you know, something totally different.
Yeah.
Completely. It's superheroes, but they're you know, street level superheroes that have powers, mm-hmm. and, you know, just one of those things where it was different cultures.
Yeah. Like I loved the Static Book.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and like, you know,
I mean, that's the thing, everybody talks about Static and it's like, I'm like, no, Blood Syndicate was my favorite.
Blood Syndicate was really good too. But like as a kid, like,
yeah.
you know, cause thinking just kind of, we're not that different in age, but
right.
like, we're enough where
like, it's far enough that like
Static
yeah.
was something that drew me
right.
away from Marvel, away from DC.
Right. So, yeah. And it was just cool to like, that show was just fun. I mean, they had yeah. celebrity guests, they had comic book guests, and it was just like, I got to see all the living cast of the Lost in Space group.
Nice.
At one point yeah. there. So, you know.
And so I like that stuff. I like to yeah. get to see that stuff. When we went down to Lexington Comic Con
yeah.
together,
yeah.
like I enjoyed myself.
Right.
But we were only there for like 3 hours.
Right.
You know, like I think any more of that, it was so crowded.
Yeah. Like, that's what it's like in this day and age. Yeah. You know, a show back then was a good size show. Mm-hmm. You like Mid Ohio right. Con was a good size show. But you literally could walk around on a Saturday and not feel like you were in a, what do I want to say?
In a vice?
No. It's like the little can of
sardines.
hot dog looking wiener things.
Oh, Vienna sausages.
Vienna sausages. I mean, you literally feel like you're being crammed into a can of Vienna sausages
yeah.
at
yeah.
a show on a Saturday now.
So, and you know, we went down because you
and understandably,
you wanted autographs,
I mean,
and I wanted to be able to watch. You know, I think the other thing is my first show was the very first Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Yeah.
And it was for a couple hours. It was at Xavier. It was just
yeah.
in the concourse at the Cintas Center. And it was really cool.
Right.
And I met really cool people and,
yep.
and I had fun. And then, you know, I've been to everyone since. But because of the things that you talked about a little bit, like kind of the politics of things,
yeah.
like I am turned off by cons just in general because of what's happening in our city with the different cons. Just kind
oh,
of
okay.
the scheduling.
You're
and
talking about the two Comic-Cons.
The two big Comic-Cons. And
right.
then now we have this Queen City one. That
which is, I mean, I think they're affiliated with the Expo.
They're
so.
Affiliated with the Expo. But
right.
So I was talking to, you know, someone today about it because
yeah.
I had asked a question because it's only VIP passes get in free.
Like, oh, okay.
I don't know if our exhibitor badges will work or not. But it's only $5.
Right.
But it's at the Duke Energy Center, and our Duke Energy Center has a policy, and I don't know if this is how every convention center is, but within 6 months, you can't have the same type of event.
Oh, really?
So it's 6 months from now is the
Expo.
Is the Expo. So essentially,
right.
this group has on lockdown, and that kind of bothers
right.
me a little bit because it's like, we've talked to the person who runs the one, and, you know, he's just made comments about why certain people don't get invited. And it's like, I want to see more diversity of the types of people that they bring in.
Right.
And then the other one is the week before the established one, which I felt like was just a big middle finger to comic
yeah.
fans. So for me, I automatically have a bad taste in my mouth about
right.
how these work. Because believe it or not, I see things in black and white. I have very little gray in my life.
Right.
Which isn't great, but, you know, it's...
Right, yeah. And, you know, I understand what you're saying in that. And
so.
With the Expo, it's like, it's more what, like, I described Mid-Ohio Con.
Right.
And what most cons
and
are
I
like
have
now.
Fun. Like, I definitely had the most fun
right.
we've had this year. Part of that was because I actually, like, followed you around when you were meeting your celebrity guests.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I typically don't do. Eve Miles almost licked me on the face after I joked about
yeah.
licking her all day, which was pretty freaking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you had an experience that was fun.
Yeah.
She had a very good sense of humor.
She did.
I do feel like, you know, when you meet a celebrity or a comic book artist
yeah.
or any, you know, anybody who is an exhibitor, when you go in, it's one of those things where you want to go in kind of subdued, I guess
yeah.
you would say, and just be nice.
Yeah.
And that, but then if they're joking with you, you can feel comfortable more enough to joke with
yeah.
them too.
So part of this is I kind of want to talk about is the etiquette of it all. Because
yeah.
like I definitely, you're my con Sherpa. That's kind of how
yeah.
I describe you to people sometimes.
Gunga Dean, bring me water.
Because when I first went, you were like, hey, this is, you know, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so.
Well, right. Well,
you know,
the thing,
this is like what you do.
The thing that stands out in my head is, you know, you're like, you got to pay for their autographs.
Well, and I understand that that's you how understood they make it, money, but it's one of those things I still where have a problem.
It was just, it was one of those things more showing you what the experience of paying for their autographs.
And because
it's most people, it's not the idea that you go up to the person, you give them your money, and they're just signing paper and you walk away.
Right.
Like most of the people at the expo.
Well, like Katrina Law gave me a high five.
Yeah.
Because I told her I liked her on Chuck.
Yeah.
You know, and Robin Lord Taylor. I liked him in that show Acceptance. And so he's like, oh, that's like, awesome. Oh, yeah, like, thanks. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
you
and know? It's exactly that. It's one of those things where
Party Down, and he was shocked that anybody watched Party Down.
Right. So. But it's just one of those things where in my experience, if you're a fan of these people and you're just going up to get an autograph or just, you know, go up and say hi to them.
Yeah.
You know, because that's okay to do too.
Yeah.
You know, they're not expecting everybody to pay for an autograph or a photo.
Right.
And, you know, that's my major complaint is if I'm paying for your autograph, I don't want to pay for your photo too with my camera.
Right.
It's like just, you know, include it in the price.
Yeah.
And that, but that's just that's the thing that is one of
I feel like my experience, it was fun talking to her and like hitting, she and I hit it off.
Yeah.
Because I got her to do the bumper for the show, which we don't have on anymore. But, you know, if you listen if you listen to some of the earlier episodes, you'll hear Eve Miles say, this is Eve Miles and this is the Infamous Podcast, which is great. But at the same time, you know, I don't expect that to happen
every time. I mean, it's just one of those things where and I've told people this.
Well, you told her I had a crush on her, so.
Well, you know. She looks like your wife. I'm sorry.
She doesn't. Not even a little bit.
But the thing with it is like when you go to a show, don't expect everybody to be nice.
Right.
I mean, my opinion is be nice to them. If they're not nice to you, okay, just walk away.
Right.
Just walk away.
Because, like, you had told me, you know, don't, like, most of them don't like to be touched. And like, yeah. I'm very much of a person who I don't like to be touched either. So I totally respect
that. And the thing is, you know what your boundaries are because some people will shake your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, like, when they take photos, there's people that will cozy up to you. And there's people that will... You know, there's airspace between you and them.
There's a balloon.
Right. Like, you know, like the old 50s dances. And if you're, you know, the best way to know is when you're standing in line, be patient.
Yeah.
And just watch. Watch how they react to the people in front of you. Watch how the people in front of you might be to them.
Right.
Because, you know, not to be mean, there are people who don't get it.
Right.
There are people who will get in line and think they are the character from the show. And they're not the character from the show. And the thing is, I knew ahead of time, and I think you kind of knew, Eve Miles is a prankster.
Yeah. Because I remembered reading about the stuff her and John Bowerman did.
Yeah, her and John, and he's the same way. Like, I met him a couple years ago, and, you know, he was more subdued, but there was still, you know, there's that little bit of the Joker thing going on in there.
Because like you had said, you know, they don't like to be touched. So when I got next to her and she put her arm around me and I was like, is this okay?
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, she put her arm around me. And like kind of pulled me in and it's like.
Well, and I've had that. I've had ones who, you know, don't even put their arm around.
Right.
They'll just stand next to you.
Which is fine.
Totally fine. Yeah. You know, but I mean, be cool to them and they're probably going to be cool to you.
Sure. All right. So when you're waiting in line.
Yeah.
Big no-nos. What are some of the big no-nos? Like, don't take a picture while you're waiting in line. I've seen that's one.
I think, like, if they're taking photos with other people, don't take a photo of them when they're taking pictures with other people. But if they're sitting at their table, like, signing an autograph and you do a snapshot, no big deal.
Okay.
Because they're not looking directly at the camera.
Okay.
Which a lot of celebrities will let you take pictures of them signing your autographs without, you know, looking at the camera. Because if they look at the camera, it's kind of
a
different thing. Yeah,
so I get that.
But the thing with, like, if they're taking pictures, you know, with somebody else, don't do that. It's paparazzi.
Okay.
You're being a paparazzi at that point.
So, you know,
If you're down the aisle and you have a zoom lens and you take a picture of them sitting at their table and they're just looking wherever.
Right.
I don't think that's a big deal.
See, I think that's creepy, but
It's creepy, but I don't think it's as big of a deal.
It's not a deal breaker. You're not going to get kicked out for it.
Yeah.
So
that's another thing. If you want a picture with the celebrity, buy something off their table. If they're not charging for photos, don't just go up and ask for a photo. That's kind of rude.
Well, and I did the photo. I did the paid photo.
Well, you paid for a photo because you wanted to get a photo with her.
And because I was looking for a commission.
Right.
And I just did not find a single artist I really wanted. Because I was looking for... I wanted someone to draw on Vince.
But it was one of those things where we had... Gone up. I had got her autograph. We talked to her for a few minutes. She was cool.
And there was nobody around her. And if you
got the good enough vibe off of her, that it was like, I want to go back and get a picture.
Yeah, and when I went back, there was no one around her. And like, you know, she was like, oh, hey guys, what's going on? And we talked to her.
We chatted with her for 25 minutes. And she, one of my better experiences.
You're welcome.
Like, honestly, one of my better. Well, even just getting her autograph and talking to her. And I mean, Robin Lord Taylor was so busy that it was like, you really couldn't talk to him.
No.
And here's a problem that I notice, and be patient with this too, their escorts sometimes are not volunteers from the show. That's actually like an agent escort. Those people are usually rude.
Yep.
They're usually not nice to us, the fans.
Yeah.
Just blow it off. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Cause I've had it happen several times.
Just smile and nod.
And I'm just like, I'm not here to see you. I'm here to see that person. Here's my money. And let me go talk to that person pretty much.
Cool. All right. So then another big thing is cosplayers.
Yeah.
Now, last year I was doing some social media for Queen City Comics. And so I was walking around and I would ask cosplayers, can I take your picture? And
be considerate. Do that.
And I would get their names and I would say, hey, this would be posted on the Queen City Comics Facebook page at, you know, 2 o'clock. Right. Just so that they'd know and it wasn't like just some pervy guy.
Well, yeah. And it's but I also didn't just
go up to the girls and like the cami, you know, Street Fighter costumes and be like, oh, here, let me get a picture of butt and let me get a picture of cleavage. And, you know, which I think is super creepy anyway.
It's just one of those things for anybody at a show. Be considerate.
And I think one thing to remember is like if you're a grown man.
Yeah.
Some of these girls are in high school.
Yeah.
So hands off, fellas. Like don't.
Well, it's the same thing as the celebrities. I think it's one of those things where if they come up,
so because you don't know how old they are,
right? But if they come up and they put their arm around you or something, you could throw your arm around them. And that you're talking from a dad point of view. I'm talking from a person who's gone to a lot of these conventions.
Because if I were to see like
something
happen, like even if it's not my daughter, I'm going to say something.
Right. But I mean, it's one of those things where, like I said, be considerate. Don't grope them.
Right. But like we had the good experience with the guy dressed as Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
And then who later came by as Daredevil.
Right.
Which was like, I mean, that guy looked crazy like Charlie.
But I've had enough people that, you know, I've met over the years that are cosplayers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just one of those things where they're people. They're just doing that because they like to do that. Yeah. Don't think they're the character also.
Right.
Because and if you like
have
I said,
if
get
you
it.
Have it's... a table and you're an artist and things like that.
Yeah.
You know. Like, I've seen, like, we interview the guys from Man vs. Rock.
Right.
On their Instagram, they always post pictures of cosplayers.
Right.
Christopher Jones does, which Joe is does. Awesome.
Joe Carani does all the time.
Another thing is don't ever, like, say any, like, don't post negative things about them. Like, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, that bothers me. And, like, Christopher Jones deletes the negative ones. Right. And I mean, but, like.
My opinion is if you've, you know. Male and female, if you've got the balls enough to dress up, make your costume.
And if you've made it, like,
oh, dude,
like, I think that's a whole episode that we should talk about at some point because I think cosplay is an art form.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
Oh,
You know, for the people who take and, like, not only, like, make the costume, but then sculpt their
bodies.
You
look at it this way. You know, there, at this point, there's what they call professional cosplayers that have tables at shows. They're fans of it, and they're performing their art in a way that the same thing as a comic book writer or a comic book artist is doing.
Agreed.
As a toy maker is doing, as a sculptor is doing.
Right.
They're sculpting it on themselves.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. It's the same with celebrities, comic book artists, comic book writers, anybody who's a guest of the show, anybody who is a vendor at the show. Respect them like you would respect yourself. And if you don't respect yourself, just don't go to a show.
Sure. No, I get it.
I mean,
all right.
You know, there's other things that you shouldn't do at shows, too.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go a little bit long because the last thing that I want to talk about is what are some, like, survival, like, I'm using air. I've been using air quotes a lot.
You are. You're like, I'm on. You're, like, blowing wind my way. Trying to,
anyway. So what are some of like the survival essentials? Like I put together a list just kind of based on some of the things you and I have done over the years.
Yeah.
And again, this is in the show notes. So a backpack or messenger bag.
Yeah.
I've done both. I prefer a backpack to my messenger bag. You know, a camera.
The backpack, like, to me is a little bit more difficult because you got to take it off, put it back on if you're getting something out.
Sure.
You know, if you're the only person in line.
I think if I had a bigger messenger bag, right. I might like have a different thought process on that.
But yeah, well, and the messenger bag's easier to just swing around, it grab something out of, and you know, put it, swing it back around.
But,
or in my case, get somebody to come with you and carry your bags for you.
True. Or what I like to do is just leave.
I love you, honey.
She does do that. I forgot.
Well,
about
and the
that,
thing, so, you know, I've discussed that with her, and you know, this I'll throw that in there.
Yeah.
If you have a girlfriend who isn't really into this stuff, but she's willing to go to the conventions
force
with you,
her to go.
You know, at least she'll first bow
she'll
at her feet.
Everything.
Yeah, bow at her feet because you know that's the first thing you should do.
Dude, you lock.
But if she's willing to carry your bag for you and help you, and you know. My girlfriend likes to go see the celebrities.
Right.
She's always...
And the Disney stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And it's... But the celebrity thing, like the first Dragon Con we went to, it was one of those things where she was kind of starstruck by some of the people that she met.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the best story I can tell with a celebrity that we met was John Schneider.
Yeah.
Because, like, she still has a crush on him. She's always had a crush on him.
Did she like Dukes of Hazzard slide across the table?
No. It was fun because it was one of those things where he had a pretty good line. And, you know, it's one of those things where when you're in a line, you could talk to other people in the line.
Right.
Or you just chat with whoever's with you.
Sure.
And we were just chatting and, you know, he had people in front of us and we were laughing and that. And he had finished with them and we were, you know, just moving along as you would in a line, but we weren't paying total attention.
Oh, okay.
And he literally walked up to us and said, "What are we laughing about?" And you just see her like
she
go
just goes
blank.
White.
She
totally
went blank face,
that, yeah.
And I literally turned around. I said, "Oh, we, I said," and I literally told him, "I said I was joking around with her, and I said I was going to ask you to give her a hug." And he said, "Oh, well, you know what? I'll give you a hug." And literally, like, grabs me and hugs me, and I hugged him back, and she like totally didn't know what to do. And then he's like, "Well, I'm going to give you a hug too," and gave her a hug. And it was one of those things where, you know, it wasn't even like I hadn't even paid for anything yet.
No.
And that's what I'm talking about. Those are the kind of encounters where it's like, you know, have fun with people.
Yeah, definitely.
And that, but.
And if she hadn't been carrying your stuff, that wouldn't happen.
Well, you know.
So, all right. So the next thing is camera. Now, I typically just use my phone.
I was going to say, in this day and age, it's like, you know, when I started going to conventions, there wasn't like really like, you know, film was in the camera.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, so yeah, it was one of those things where I think like my conventions that I first started out with, I was taking disposable cameras.
Yeah.
Cheap, easy, took decent pictures.
Yeah, took okay.
And I take a digital camera.
Yeah. Cause you have a nice digital camera. Like your phone is a good digital camera.
Your phone's as good as anything. Like a lot of people just whip their phone out and selfie that
thing.
That's
you
know,
all
they
I
just
did
selfie
is,
the hell out of those.
All right. And then, so along with that is a phone, battery or charger.
Yeah. Oh, and you can take a video camera. I mean, some people are cool enough like that, you know, you could just ask them, can I videotape? Make sure you ask. Don't just assume.
Right. I'm going to videotape you.
Just be like, "Hi, you know, can I videotape us meeting?"
Yeah.
And that, and usually they're cool about it and they'll, you know, sure, fine.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, so then phone or battery, charger.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have
rechargeable batteries.
10 different
if you're going to one out of town.
Phone. Yeah.
Take a battery charger, rechargeable batteries. Mm-hmm. Make sure you buy a lot of rechargeable batteries.
Yeah.
Another one I could recommend is lithium batteries.
Yep.
Because, like, I've had the same lithium batteries in my camera for a year now, and they have not died.
Yeah. So, like, for your phone, like, you can get a Mophie case.
Yeah.
If you have, like, you know, I don't know if they make them for Androids. Windows.
Battery pack thing that you
They have like I have like three of
them. They use them. I mean, so, I've seen them for Androids. Yeah. I've seen them for, you know.
Well, both my battery packs.
A lot of those battery packs at this point are universal.
Yeah. So, I have a couple battery packs that I bring with me. One's now like the size of a credit card that I pretty much always have on my person.
Yeah.
Which is great. So
that's
you know,
just recommended
sure
because if
that.
You have your Wi-Fi on, your phone will die fast at
a
convention.
Oh yeah. So and that's something a little further down the list. So the next one is money. Bring lots and lots of money with you.
Yeah. Some cash. People accept credit cards.
And mainly more and vendors. More are accepting credit cards.
Celebrities take cash
they
only.
They do usually. Take cash only because yeah. they don't have to report all of that on their taxes.
Right.
Which is good for them. So then, yeah, just make sure you have cash on hand. You know, I typically like to bring like a cool G and.
Wow. I was going to go there. I was going to go there. If you do, if you're doing one day at a show.
Yeah.
If you're just going to like, if you're going to the Comic Expo for one day, any Comic Expo really. And I'm not talking San Diego because that's a beast unto itself.
Right.
If you're going for one day. $300-$400 might be a good idea.
Yeah. I typically like try and
don't go in there with $100 thinking you're gonna just like I'm just gonna buy one thing because
you're gonna buy one thing for $100.
You're gonna see as soon as you walk in the door, you're gonna see something you wanna buy.
Yeah.
Do not buy it. Do not buy the first thing you see.
No. I try to limit myself to $250.
Yeah. $250 to $400 is probably a good idea.
At $250 I can get a commission piece. I can get whatever pops I'm looking for.
Right.
And I can spend, you know, $30 from Buzz.
Right.
And get whatever DC Direct figure I don't
yeah.
have. So there's that. All right. So make sure you're connected. So.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say like a three day convention. You might want to take a cool G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So make sure you're connected. So like at New York Comic Con at the Javits Center, you can buy. Internet access. So I think for the day it's like $30 and for the weekend it's like $70.
Yeah.
So but you know, so think of that if you have like one of those MiFi hotspots, that's a great thing to bring with you because you let that connect and then you connect your phone to that. It'll save battery life on your phone. But yeah, like Wi-Fi is shoddy at best in most of those places.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if you've ever been to any big event, like a concert or a sporting game, like you know what a pain it is to try and Instagram something.
Right.
Or to upload a video or things like that to Facebook. So, you know, just kind of find the best way to stay connected. You know, this other one is, you know, kind of make sure you have stuff to kind of clean up. Like if you are there to get pictures with celebrities and maybe you can't get the celebrity till the end of the day, bring comb, you know, going further,
make sure you take a bath.
Well, that too. Yeah. Like clean up before you get there. But like, you know, like for the ladies, you know,
and I'm not being rude. I'm like, in all seriousness.
Well, David has told me about the smell at San Diego.
Yeah.
And he knows me well enough. He's like, you'll puke when you get in there, but then you'll be fine.
Right.
I'm like, if it's that bad, well, it's the same. I'll puke and then I'll keep puking and then I'll be dehydrated and I'll die.
Right.
So,
but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm talking over 20 years of experience at conventions where everybody's walked through, you know, Pigpen's cloud of dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to be Pigpen at the convention.
No.
And that. So, you know, that's the nicest way to put it is, you know, try not to be Pigpen.
Yeah. Stay energized. So no bringing, like you and I both bring snacks.
Always bring a bottle of water.
Yeah. And
no matter what.
Yeah.
Keep a bottle of water with you.
And because typically they'll have drinking fountains where you can just refill that water for free.
Well, just standing in lines
underneath
the convention center lights can get very hot.
Yeah. I like to bring Kind bars with me.
Yeah.
Because
any kind of
really
granola bars, you know, bag of chips, whatever your taste is, whatever is going to keep you satisfied. I mean, I usually bring like 4 or 5 granola bars.
Right.
Yeah. And just, you know, they last a weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
and then
because, I mean, there's food there. Obviously, that's another thing for bringing money is there is food there.
It's expensive.
A little expensive. So but I mean, you know.
Steer clear of any grilled cheese sandwich that, like, the bread is like a donut. Because
oh, no.
That is nasty.
No.
Oh, God, I hated that sandwich.
Oh, it's spectacular. Jeff, that's Jeff's fault for me because Jeff's the one that told me to go
like
try it.
Oh, three of them a day. Okay. And then the last one I have on here, and like this isn't probably as big a deal as it used to be, but just bring extra Sharpies.
You always want to carry at least one or two with you.
Like,
because
I've
had incidences where celebrities had like a few Sharpies and ran out of ink. And it's like, here, I have a Sharpie.
And so I always have a black one, a silver one, and then I have a red or an orange and a blue one that I keep with me.
I recommend if you're getting celebrity autographs and you want it to last, I mean, Sharpies last now longer, but blue is like the best. It will stick around longer than anything else on a 8x10.
So, and then if you're there to network and things like that, having Sharpies works well. Have business cards, things like that.
Oh yeah, carry. I always have like at least 2 ink pens, mm-hmm. 5 Sharpies, just because of experience. Paper, like a notebook.
Yep.
If you think about it, bring a sketchbook.
Yeah, moleskins are great.
Moleskins.
I
a little pricey, but I mean
they're not. You can get them for cheap. Like I buy the Evernote ones, so they're more expensive because I can like create searchable PDFs out of them. But yeah, like I would like hope that someone would be like, hey, if I for $10, can you sketch something in my book?
Yeah,
you know, or like our buddy Bob from the Queen City Comics Fairfield, he has this book that has like every major DC person.
Any DC person,
really. I think it's up to over like 500 signatures.
I have no idea at this point.
But he says he's going to be buried with it. And I told him, then I will dig it up and I will grave rob you.
Yeah, I'll be there before you get there. They're not even going to be able to put dirt in the ground. I'll be on the coffin breaking through with an axe.
Anyway. All right. So we went a little long this week, but we talked about a lot of good stuff. We went longer on Walking Dead than we expected to.
It always happens.
It does. But anyway, hey, thanks
for listening. How many Walking Dead?
I know. So, we'll have to get a Horror Hound story from you.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the episode for this week. You can find us at infamouspodcast.com. You are able to subscribe to the show through iTunes. From there, you can sign up for our mailing list and, you know, get keep up to date on some of the cool stuff we're doing.
Yeah.
You can find how to contact Johnny and myself and our blogger, Katie. You know, so, and then lastly, we have, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all Infamous Podcast. I actually accidentally posted one of my typical Lego action shots to the Infamous Podcast. So if you kind of want to see that, go check that out. But yeah, anything else?
Nothing I can think of.
Nothing you can think
of. Do you want me to close out with the New Kids on the Block song?
Please don't. So, yeah. No, please do not do that.
Oh, really? You don't want me to?
Go ahead. You
don't want me hanging tough or going step by step?
Either one. Go ahead.
I'll be loving you forever.
Really want to sing in
New Kids? No, we're out.
Johnny wants to go NKOTB. If you have tickets to NKOTB anywhere in the country, let Johnny know. You can email him.
I have no idea why that even happened.
We will set up a GoFundMe so he can go to the concert with you. He has a girlfriend, but they have an open relationship. So
wow, when did that happen?
So you can go see your boys.
If someone said here's some tickets to New Kids on the Block, I probably would go.
Yeah,
you know, just because it's one of those things where
the story.
Like, oh, I remember them.
Yeah. All right, guys, have a great week. We will be back on Saturday with our Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. If you noticed, I did not give it my normal title that I give it. If you listen to the show on the regular, we will be back on Tuesday.
I don't even know what you call it because
Poop Man versus Pooper Man, Poop of Justice. Anyway, we will be back on Tuesday with our review for the 50th anniversary of Star Trek with Nemesis, which Johnny and I have very different opinions on that movie. And anything else?
Nothing I can think.
Awesome. Well, we will see you guys next week. Later.